The San Antonio Spurs took a 3-2 series lead in their opening round against the Memphis Grizzlies as San Antonio defeated Memphis 116-103 Tuesday night in the AT&T Center. I am Paul Garcia of ProjectSpurs.com, and as usual, I will break down the game for the Spurs, looking at some of their key playmakers, how their offense did, and also how their defense performed. So let's go ahead and jump into the game. First, three players we're going to target here are Kawhi Leonard, Patty Mills, and Tony Parker. Kawhi, as he's done all series, he was, again, magnificent, basically efficient across the board. Finishes with 28 points on only 16 shots. Shoots 56% from the floor. Takes 7 of 8 free throw attempts. He actually missed a free throw in the series for the first time. He had been perfect coming into heading into Game 5. He dishes 6 assists for 15 points for his teammates that they accumulated. And he, of course, shot efficient as well from 3 of 5 from 3-point range. He played 39 minutes in the game. So let's go ahead and break down Kawhi a little bit. The Spurs mainly got him a lot of looks either out of the 3-5 pick and roll with either Pau Gasol or LaMarcus Aldridge setting the screen for him. He did pretty well there, getting some assists. He also made a shot in that format. He had a few ISOs when he would see the defense kind of collapsing, he'd attack. But one of the key ways that Kawhi got his teammates involved was with the driving kick attack. So anytime he saw a little bit of an opening in a lane, it wasn't necessarily his goal to attack and try to get a bucket in the paint or get a contested shot. He was actually going in there to try to get a three-point look for somebody. So Kawhi ended up throwing 4 assists just on driving kick attempts in that game. And, you know, being at home for the Spurs role players, guys like Pau Gasol, Patty Mills, Danny Green, these guys, and Tony Parker, they actually hit their shots now that they're in the comforts of the AT&T Center. So Kawhi found his teammates wide open, and he hit them for those kind of shots, and they converted. Memphis's defense continued to either trap, they kind of mixed up their pick and roll coverage. They either trapped him a little bit on those 3-5 pick and rolls or 3-4 pick and rolls, or they dropped back a few times, and he was just to kind of just basically take away the paint. They were okay with him maybe taking a few jumpers, but very rarely. They also, anytime that he caught a ball on the post up or the he had it like on the spaced out on the wing by himself, like in an isolation, you would immediately see somebody like Marc Gasol or Zach Randolph or Jamichael Green kind of shade over to the paint to make sure that they were ready to anticipate any kind of drive by Kawhi if he broke down his man. So the Grizzlies continue to set up a game plan targeted toward trying to basically keep the ball out of Kawhi's hands. And he did a better job, especially in Game 5, of finding his teammates, and they converted for him. One thing you saw a lot was a lot of his pick and rolls, they were targeted toward Zach Randolph, Z-Bo. Kawhi is very comfortable at attacking him, and you saw that again in Game 5 as he continued to attack Z-Bo on the drive if he could get past his initial defender or get him on a switch. So overall, Kawhi ends up putting up 43 points for the Spurs when you combine his points, 28, with his assist, which he accumulated 15 points. He also, for the series now through 5 games, he's averaging 31.6 points per game. If you take only the active players in the playoffs right now, which are LeBron and James Harden and then Kawhi, those are the top 3 scorers. Kawhi's third on that list. Kawhi's also shooting 58% from the floor, 54% from 3 for the series, and 98% from the free throw line. Again, his only miss was in Game 5 when he missed that one free throw, 7 of 8 shooting. Now let's go to the other guy to help Kawhi out, which is Patty Mills. He had a breakout game for the series, finishes with 20 points on just 10 shots, a very efficient night for Patty. Shoots 70% from the floor, really just put the game away in the fourth quarter when he made 4 threes, but for the night he made 5 of 7 three-pointers. In the fourth, he was actually the Spurs' leading scorer, not Kawhi, with 12 points in the fourth quarter. And Patty only played in 22 minutes, so that's some really efficient scoring considering the time that he was on the floor. Patty really got going really well with the spot-up shots, so anytime that when I get to Tony Parker's section, I'm going to talk about how Parker kind of set him up perfectly for a lot of his three-pointers in that fourth quarter. He was also a key in running the 1-4 spread pick and roll. He actually got a few layups. That's something that Patty Mills isn't known for. But the Grizzlies had a lot of communication errors, like their head coach David Fizdale discussed after the game, that they just had like mental lapses, and you could see it because Patty would just kind of just come off the screen with Pau Gasol or LaMarcus Aldridge. He'd see the paint wide open because Z-Bo was like turned around facing his defender, and he just attacked the rim for a layup opportunity. Tony Parker mentioned in the after the game that he was looking for Patty when they played together. Pop used that lineup with Patty and Parker as a 2-guard formation to end the game, And Parker talked about how he's always looking for Patty whenever they're on the floor together on his radar, because he just knows Patty it was in a rhythm and he could find him. So that lineup of Parker, Patty Mills, Kawhi Leonard, David Lee, and LaMarcus Aldridge, they ended up putting up a net rating of 109.6, plus 109.6. That's like basically a number off the charts. So they were key in stopping the Grizzlies from making a comeback in that game, despite San Antonio leading by 18 points. And very much like Kawhi, a lot of Patty's pick and rolls were targeted towards Zebo to get him on the switch or get him going under screens. So again, the Spurs' offense continues to basically try to get Zebo in the pick and roll coverage so that they can kind of exploit him there as well. Tony Parker finishes with 16 points on 12 shots. He dishes 6 assists, and his teammates score 17 points off those 6 assists. He plays 30 minutes. So again, another basically aggressive performance from Parker, whether his shot's falling or not. He's continuing to attack the rim. He's continuing with the Grizzlies going under screens to shoot the mid-range jumper. He's not you know, leaning away from that. He's basically staying as aggressive as he can while trying to keep his teammates involved as well. So Parker ends up putting up 33 total points when you combine his 16 points with the 17 points off assist. So he accounted for 66% of he actually, here's a stat. Let me start that over. So Kawhi and Parker together scored 76 points when you consider their points scored with the assist they got off points, which out of 116 points for their team, which means they were accountable for 66% of the Spurs' scoring in that game. Parker in the fourth quarter, you really, really saw him start going to town as far as like becoming slicing and dicing the Grizzlies defense. What the Spurs continually did when the Grizzlies did make it close was they kept running a 1-4 spread pick and roll with Parker as the ball handler and David Lee as a screener. And this is where Parker actually found Patty four times in the fourth quarter, all for spot up threes. There was actually one possession I put on Twitter. If you go check my Twitter handle at Paul Garcia NBA, where Kawhi literally stands at like half court and the Spurs run a 4-on-4 set with that 1-4 pick and roll, and the Spurs still get Patty an open three-point look. So Parker was really good at finding his teammates, again, staying aggressive. He too went after Zebo anytime he got a chance, and that's something I think you're continually seeing, is that their defense is continuing to attack Zebo and making him the guy that has to kind of defend their playmakers. Moving on to the Spurs' offense, they had a really efficient night. Shots finally went in. That's the thing they didn't do in Memphis. San Antonio shoots 53% from the floor. They drove 14 of 28 threes, 50% after shooting, I think, 9 of 30 in game four, where they missed a lot of open threes. They also get to the free throw line, 18 of 22 free throws. They were efficient there as well. So one thing to talk about is the three-point shooting. You know, in San Antonio now, for the series through three games, they are shooting 47.1% as a team. When the series goes to Memphis, they're shooting 35.2%. So that's about a 12% difference. So this will be the interesting key in game six. Do the Spurs as role players, are they going to be ready to hit the same exact threes like they're getting in San Antonio in Memphis with the crowd cheering, you know, the very lively environment there in the grindhouse? That'll be the question to watch. One stat from games three and four, according to the NBA's SportVU data, San Antonio made six of 24 open threes. It's 25% on open threes in Memphis in their last games, three and four. That's 25% of the makes of those shots. That's very obviously not very good. So that'll be the key here going into game six, is can the Spurs replicate what they've been doing in San Antonio as far as having efficient shooting games and getting basically the same open looks. Passing, the Spurs finally got on the assist board as far as getting over 20 assists against the Grizzlies defense. Memphis had been holding them to numbers like 14, 16, 15 assist games. And a lot of that did have to do with San Antonio just not making shots. So the Spurs they throw 23 assists on 42 made shots, which is over half their percentage points were assisted on, which was 55%. They took care of the ball, had some really good execution, 8 turnovers only for just 11 Memphis points. And their bench really showed up. San Antonio's bench ends up outscoring the Grizzlies 46-30. That's a plus 16 difference right there. Some of the key guys off the bench. First, you have to talk about Manu Ginobili. Pau Gasol talked about how he was energetic after the game. So after going 0 for 15 in games 1, 2, 3, and 4, Manu ends up coming out with 10 points in the first game that he actually scores in the series. On his initial first play in transition, he gets an and-one opportunity. He got another one later on in that quarter. He also, his first 3-point make was off a dribble handoff. I mean, it wasn't even specifically wide open, but it was kind of open, semi-open, I would say, and he still drills it. You know, that's just the kind of veteran that Manu is. You know, he's not going to let 4 bad games get in the way of 1 good game. And so he did it all over the place. He had 3 assists, put 3 steals on the floor. I mean, gathered 3 steals, and he only played 18 minutes. So this guy does all this production with less than 20 minutes of play at 39 years old. So, I mean, that was a big game for Manu. If they get enough, again, they might not get 10 points, but if they can just get something very close to what he provided, that energy, that spark, keeping the ball moving, hitting those open shots when they're there, he's going to be very good for them going forward in game 6 and possibly should they win game 6 in the later rounds of the playoffs. But he has to, again, step up and continue doing that. Pau Gasol, though, he didn't play a lot of minutes. He did score 9 points on 5 made shots. So that's an efficient game for him as well. And then Davis Bertans, you saw him get the minutes again. He only scored 3 points, but a lot of the lineups that he played in were very efficient. The only time that Bertans' net rating wasn't very good was when he was flanked by Pau Gasol on the opposite side of the front court, which they had a net rating of minus 6.1. But one lineup that really did well for the Spurs was Parker, Jonathan Simmons, Danny Green, Davis Bertans, and LaMarcus Aldridge. That group in 3 minutes, they had a net rating of plus 66.7. And a lot of that was attributed to that second quarter. At the start of the second quarter, when Kawhi's getting his rest, the Spurs actually kept the lead up and they actually scored a little bit more points and brought the lead up. That was something that they could not do in Memphis. When Kawhi went to the bench in Memphis, their offense just died and they had nothing coming. And the Grizzlies were able to make comebacks on them. Well, this time San Antonio was able to actually build a little bit of a lead with Kawhi resting, and that really helped them out in that second quarter. So what you've seen though from the center position is David Lee's now starting. It's an adjustment Pop's made because, you know, spacing's so critical in this series. And though Lee's not a shooter, he's just an excellent passer, and he's a great player when he's not involved in the offense of just cutting to the rim and getting open dunks or getting open backdoor layups or something like that. So Lee started with Aldridge. Powell was the first big off the bench, and then Bertans was that fourth big, and then Pop basically shrunk the rotation. Deadman did to get a few minutes of play right at the end, but that was basically the garbage time. The game was already decided. So this may not be the series for Deadman. The Spurs have actually played very well, very good defense with Lee, Bertans, and Aldridge as their primary bigs and Powell against the Grizzlies bigs and Marcus on Zeebo, as I'll talk about here in a little bit when we get to that area of the floor. Switching over to the defense. Let's go ahead and talk about the Spurs. One of the problems from game 4. So continually in the series, the Spurs have had these lapses on offense where they go through like a 6-minute stretch where they don't score more than 12 points, where they just, you know, they basically get hammered down and they just can't put the ball in the basket, or they have a really bad with some turnovers. So this game 5 was a game where they did not have that, only except for once when the opening minutes, those first 6 minutes, they got outscored 10-6 by Memphis. But then after that, San Antonio continually put some really good offensive productive numbers for themselves. And if they can continue doing that, they're going to have a chance against this Memphis ball club, because San Antonio does have more weapons than Memphis. But again, they have to avoid those offensive lapses that they see, especially in Memphis, where those come about a lot. Switching over to the Spurs' defense. Memphis had a good shooting night again, 51% from the floor. They make 9 of 22 threes. That, especially some of those late threes helped them stay in the game down in the fourth quarter when they're trying to get that lead back down from 18. They make 20 of 22 free throws. And on the board, San Antonio won the rebounding battle, 34-31 narrowly, but it was still very low numbers considering both teams shot 50%. That's why the rebounds were actually so low. San Antonio, as they've done in 5 straight games now, they've kept Memphis off the offensive glass. That was one of their key goals coming into the series. Manu Ginobili had mentioned that before the series even tipped off, and it's continued to be a strength for the Spurs as far as keeping Memphis from getting any extra possessions on offense. In transition, this is a big one that Pop talked about. You know, when asked about the defense last night, Pop said, you know, it was, we didn't give up 20-something fast break points. This is a problem for the Spurs in game 4. You know, they won 3 of the 4 quarters. They only lost one of the quarters and that overtime period. And when you look at their defense, it looked like, you know, the numbers looked okay for them, but it was just that 26 points on fast break points. And that was with the Grizzlies turning it over 23 times in game 4. So this time San Antonio definitely got back on defense. They didn't let a lot of leakouts to the Grizzlies' big men or to some of their wing players. They really got back. They contested shots. They tried not to put them at the free throw line as much. And so San Antonio only holds them to 7 points. And without those extra points, on the break, Memphis's offense obviously is relied so much more now on Conley, Gasol, and Zeebo. looking at some of the Grizzlies' individual defenders, let's go ahead and start with Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol finishes with 17 points, collects 7 assists, and grabs 5 boards. Now, the Spurs did a pretty good job of kind of containing him a little bit as much as they could. He's just an excellent playmaker. You know, he gets the ball at the elbow or up top at the top of the arc or the post, and he can just find people left and right, find cutters, find shooters. He's just a really, really efficient player. I tracked some of the Spurs' bigs on Mark's contested shots, though. So his brother Powell holds him to 2 of 4 shooting. David Lee holds Marc Gasol to 0 of 2 shooting. Mark did score shoot three of five on LaMarcus Aldridge. However, Aldridge did a great job of as far as making him make contested shots, whether they were floaters or over the shoulder type difficult shots. He had a good shooting night against Aldridge, but still, they weren't like easy, like, you know, post ups over Aldridge. They were very difficult looks, as you would say. He had one, and then he had one shot in transition. So Gasol also racked up 17 points on his 7 assists. So when you combine his points scored with the points of his assists, he accounted for 34 points for Memphis's offense. Moving to Mike Conley, basically the head of the Grizzly Snake. He scored 26 points, collected 6 assists, and another efficient shooting night with 17 shots. Now, Conley, I mean, Pop had a quote, or one of the Spurs players had a quote, where basically, oh, it was Pau Gasol, actually. Pau says, you know, it's hard for any team in the league to keep this guy in check, to basically keep him from going off. And actually, when you go back and watch the film, as I did, and watch the tape, you see that almost every single Spurs player on the floor in this game had a chance of guarding Conley, and not only one of them was successful. And it was just, and it's because these situations were so slim. So Tony Parker, Conley shoots 2 of 2 against him. Patty Mills, Conley shoots 2 of 4. Danny Green, the only guy that actually held Conley to that Conley did not make a shot over when he was guarding him, was he shot 0 of 2 against Danny. LaMarcus Aldridge, Conley shot 2 of 4. Kawhi Leonard, 1 of 1. Davis Bertans, 1 of 1. Pau Gasol, 1 of 1. David Lee, 1 of 1. So you see how there's like almost like 9 players here that Conley basically gets. So he can get, he's just so good with his hesitation dribble and with his command of the pick and roll. He knows how to basically get that screen, use it to kind of get some contact and get the big on him to get that switch that he prefers. Or if he gets a guard like Patty or Tony or somebody like that, he can easily use those hesitation dribbles to get to the rim and kind of just confuse them. One thing that David Flores, who works for Ken's Five, mentioned to me was that what's even more difficult, I think, for the Spurs' defense or any defense is that Conley's a lefty. So it's like imagine like a little mini like Manu or James Harden, who kind of just can get shifty and hesitate and get to wherever he wants on the floor. And it's difficult when most players are used to guarding right-handed players, and Conley makes it difficult for them because he's a lefty. On his six assist, Conley gets 13 points for his teammates. So he actually scores 30. He provides 39 points for Memphis when you take his 26 points plus his 13 points off assist. So when you look at just Conley and Marc Gasol, they accounted for 73 of the Grizzlies' 103 points as far as points and assists when you combine those two stats together. So they basically accounted for 71% of Memphis's scoring. Now let's look at the last guy for Memphis who really kind of was contained and where they're really going to need this guy if they really want to win some games in the series. You know, I before the series started, I didn't think Zeebo was capable of putting up a 20-point game, especially not consistently. Since that 121-point night, he really hasn't – he's kind of been limited a little bit more. And in Game 5, you really saw it. So Zeebo finishes with 9 points. He grabs 6 rebounds, still stays aggressive on the glass, but it took him 10 shots to get those 9 points. That's obviously not an efficient night when you're taking more shots than making points. I tracked the Spurs' defense on Zeebo. They did the guys that played on him. We did an excellent job. David Lee, he only shot 1 of 3. LaMarcus Aldridge, he shot 2 of 4, and against Pau Gasol, he only shot 1 of 3. And though he did make 2 of 4 against Aldridge, they were mainly forced contested shots. It was like those face-ups on Aldridge from like 15 to 18 feet out, and he got kind of like shoots it fading away. So a lot of the Spurs' players, they do a great job of forcing him to stay outside. But then also, when he does get like any kind of post-up position, they immediately swarm him and help him provide good help defense. So heading into Game 6, I think the one thing you'll see continually is the Spurs kind of mixing it up as far as not making Kawhi just the sole pick-and-roll kind of ball handler, continuing to make Tony Parker their ball handler as well. They got to get some production from the bench. I think that Deadman will still stay benched, and you'll see Davis Bertans continue to get some minutes to keep the spacing on the floor. You'll see David Lee start. And, you know, Looking at outside of game three, you know, game four was very much in the Spurs' hands. They were up by 10, and even though Memphis forced overtime and they missed all those open shots, you would say now that the momentum has shifted back to San Antonio after these last two games, as far as game four, when you take a look at all the shots that they missed that were open, and then game five, where San Antonio had an 18-point lead, though Memphis did make a little charge there at the end to make it interesting. So the key question, again, I just think is, are the Spurs role players going to make shots on the in Memphis, you know, with that crowd? A lot of these guys are veterans. You know, we do talk about like guys like Jonathan Simmons and Kyle Anderson, but those guys really aren't getting a lot of minutes. It's guys like Manu, Patty Mills, Tony, Danny Green. Those guys, the veterans, are the guys that San Antonio is going to rely upon, especially Kawhi Leonard, for some help. Next game is going to be Thursday, April 27th in Memphis. At tip time is 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time on TNT. Lastly, please follow Project Spurs at projectspurs.com.